Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was in 1689 that John Locke penned his two treatises of government, in which he argued that government exists only to preserve the individual's inalienable rights. In listing out these rights, he includes the little phrase, life, liberty, and property, or sometimes it's said, estate. These four simple words have since become enshrined in the American political system through the Declaration of Independence. However, in writing the Declaration, Thomas Jefferson made a rather major alteration. Instead of life, liberty, and property, the inalienable rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, we can argue back and forth about what these rights mean, how they are applied, but one thing which cannot be argued is the influence that this phrase has had on American culture, particularly the pursuit of happiness. That is, in a nutshell, what Solomon is talking about in our Old Testament reading today from Ecclesiastes. You see, Solomon knew the pursuit of happiness intimately. Now, Solomon is a great and powerful king, and so as a king, he didn't actually need to worry so much about the bare necessities. He was actually very free for leisurely pursuits. And in fact, the book of Ecclesiastes kind of takes a view from the end of Solomon's life, looking back on all of his life to that point of how he pursued happiness. First, he started off by searching after wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and of course that makes sense. When God asked him what he wanted, he said he wanted wisdom. And so what does he do with this wisdom? In verses 13 and 14, he applied his heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. And it is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. Solomon really did succeed in knowing just about everything there is to know. If it could be known, Solomon probably knew it. And in fact, in 1 Kings 4, we find out just how deep this goes. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. And people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard his wisdom. Solomon knew just about everything there was to know. And so at that point he turned to toil and labor, working and seeking to accumulate material wealth in his pursuit of happiness. And once again, he succeeded extravagantly. He accumulated massive amounts of gold and silver, precious things from all over the earth. People brought him treasures from all over the world. He had so much wealth that silver was considered trash in Jerusalem. And as if that wasn't enough, he also sought to satisfy all of his fleshly desires as well. And somehow he found a way to satisfy all of that. Married 800 wives, kept an additional 200 concubines. Can you imagine having 1,000 mothers-in-law? I sure couldn't. He had daily banquets loaded to the breaking point with exotic, extravagant food. He should have been happy. And yet, none of these pursuits truly satisfied him, and none of them can truly satisfy us either. Because no matter how much you learn, no matter how much wisdom you accumulate, there is always more. In fact, Albert Einstein once commented that 1,000 experiments could not prove that E equals mc squared, could not prove the theory of relativity. And yet a single experiment could completely disprove it. We know next to nothing about the depths of our own oceans. You can know all there is about a subject, and even that wouldn't be satisfying. No matter how much material wealth you accumulate, that will never be enough either. When you have a 40-inch TV, you want the 48-inch. When you have the 48-inch, you want the 60-inch. When you have the 60, you want the 72. You could have a television the size of a Jumbotron, and even that would eventually not be enough. Car companies, they come out with a new model every year. In fact, they come out with next year's model before they've even finished selling this year's model. Electronic devices? Why even bother trying to get the newest one? It'll be obsolete by the time you finish paying the cashier. No matter how much you make in a year, it's not enough. And Solomon realized after so much time pursuing wealth and material possessions that ultimately it's useless. Verses 18 and 19, he says, I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. The rich fool in our gospel reading spent his entire life pursuing material wealth, and at the end he succeeded. His fields produced so much wealth that he never needed to work another day in his life after building new barns to fit it all. And God laughs. This man was rich toward man, but he was poor toward God. Eating, drinking, being merry is a terrible model for satisfaction. This earthly pleasure is simply fleeting and temporary, and yet leaves lasting consequences. A night of drinking is inevitably followed by a morning hangover that puts all that pleasure from the night before to shame. A lust-filled night leads to days, weeks, months, and even years of regret. There is no way that the pursuit of earthly happiness can satisfy us. And yet instead of the vanity and regrets, God offers something different, something far better, something far greater. Now, God does in fact give us the material possessions which we enjoy in this life. And after all, as we say in the Catechism, everything we have is a gift of God. He gives us our body and mind, our clothing and shoes, possessions, reputation. Everything we have is a good gift from God. And he may even bless us with labor which we can enjoy, which is exactly what Solomon talks about in verse 24. There is nothing better for a person and that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. God does give us the blessing of being satisfied with our labor, and that godly enjoyment is a true blessing from God. You've heard the old expression, if you're doing something you love, you never work a day in your life. Because what you're doing every day is fun. It's something you enjoy, and that is a gift of God. It can be the most menial task, but it can still bring enjoyment and pleasure to the doer. God does also give us wisdom and knowledge and joy so that we enjoy what we are doing and we have the wisdom and knowledge we desire. Verse 26, to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. And at the same time, God also sets our minds on the things above, as I was telling the kids about. Paul writes, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. There are things that are far better and far greater than even those good gifts from God, which we enjoy in this earth. God gives us the forgiveness of sins through Christ, forgiving us for all of those times that we let our pursuit of earthly happiness distract us from God and his giving. And God also gives us eternal life with himself in heaven, which is the reward for faith, which he himself gives us. We enjoy these blessings not because of anything we do, but because of what God does for us. Now, there is nothing inherently wrong with the pursuit of happiness. Finding joy in knowledge and understanding is a worthwhile pursuit. God has given us labor and possessions for our enjoyment. The pleasures of this life, when used in a God-pleasing manner, are great gifts from a loving Father who wants the best for us and enjoys and delights in giving us these good gifts. But do not let the pursuit of earthly happiness distract from the pursuit of the joys of the world to come. Set your mind on the things that are above, which do not fade away, and which are so much more valuable than anything in this life. God's gifts are so much more than the things which we see in this world. And the gifts we cannot see are so much better than those we can. Those are the treasures we really want to lay up for ourselves in heaven. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.